Good morning. I'm Victoria Mansky. Welcome to Zion United Church of Christ. May you experience the love of Jesus in the midst of this congregation. We extend a special welcome to those of you who worship with us through our radio broadcast on KCHK Radio, and to all who join us online through our website, zionleysewer.com. We welcome your comments, contributions, and prayer requests. If you are visiting Zion today, please sign the guest card so that we can personally greet you. The radio broadcast today is sponsored by the Ruth Circle. The bulletins are sponsored by Zion members. This morning, we welcome Pastor Mary Kay Ashley to Zion. Thank you for being here and sharing God's message. The 2025 offering envelopes are available in the overflow area. If you don't see one with your name, please contact the church office. The 2024 giving statements are printed and available to be picked up in the overflow area. Discretionary fund offering. January is the month for supporting the important mission of the discretionary fund. This fund is used to offer assistance to people in need. Envelopes are available in the pew or at the usher stand. Please help support this mission. The church council will meet at 7 p.m. on Tuesday, January 14th for their monthly meeting. Your financial support of the radio broadcast in any amount helps keep the worship services available to those who are unable to attend worship in person. Now let us join in worship.
This new year, we cry out to you, the one who restores broken hearts, who refreshes tired spirits, who makes all things new. Let our faith and hope be born again today. Help us to let go of the past, stop looking back, and turn our eyes toward you. We are here today in full acceptance of who we've been, but also in hopeful expectation of who you're shaping us to be. Let your love work in us so you can better work through us. We stand ready, ready to embrace all you have for our lives, ready to do your will, ready to witness the wonders of your mighty hand, ready to share the redeeming love, the perfect grace, the life-changing salvation you have given us. So today, we lift up our voices in praise to the one who washes away our failures, who wipes away our fear and doubt, to the Almighty God who makes all things new.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic.
May all rulers bow down before the Lord and all nations serve him.
The Lord sits enthroned over the waters.
The Lord is enthroned as our ruler forever.
Thank you.
God of spirit and fire. Though baptized, we have often not lived up to our calling. We are drawn to the shadows of sin, hoping you will not see our foolishness. We fall into the arms of temptation, letting it spin us until we are out of control. We cling to your hope and grace, but withhold it from others. Forgive us, O God. Touch us with your Spirit, so that we might be restored to new life. Touch us with your grace, so we may offer forgiveness to all people. Touch us with your peace, so we might be healers to our world. This we pray in the name of the one who went into the waters of baptism to cleanse us of sin, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. The amazing love of God is always offered to us freely, joyfully, for all eternity. Rejoice, dear friends. This is the good news of our Lord. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
And also with you.
Do you share the peace with each other at this point?
Yes.
Please do so. Let us pray. Gracious God, we have so many things to pray for today. We know that our country is going to go through a major change in the next week, and we ask that the best that you can call out of everyone involved is present and is expressed. For the good of all, the good of all the world, the good of all our country, the good of all people. Lord God, we also pray for our creation. I love the fact that our opening hymn included giving thanks for the blessing of the snow, and we actually have some. It is pretty beautiful. And we thank you for all the beauty you have given us, for where you have let us live, for you, the things you have let us have. Please bless those who farm, those who care for any of creation that is not specifically within the human, and all who do their best to cooperate with that care, that your creation may continue to flourish, to be useful, to be healthy. Gracious God, we also thank you for all the humans with which you have populated the earth. Every one of us has a purpose, or two or four. You put us all here with reasons. And we thank you for the blessings of each one of the people in this room who has particular gifts to give. Help them find the places and the people who need those gifts and need those blessings. Lord, we also thank you for those whose particular purpose or one of their particular vocations is to support healing. We pray for David Tesh as he is now home and Marianne, his wife, is taking care of him. May our prayers and our actions be of support to them, and may their health improve and continue. May he continue to do well. We also pray for healing prayers for Sherman Denzer Jr. Waiting on healing is hard, and doing things that heal us sometimes take great effort or great cost. We thank you to live in a state where medical research is amazing and medical care is very good also. And may we all have access to those things that will help us live and thrive. Gracious God, I give you thanks for this congregation. Here to worship you in the midst of snow and cold. Yes, we Minnesotans are hardy and we can get just about anywhere, but there are some mornings when we look out and would rather enjoy it from the inside of our bedroom. Thank you for getting all these people here together and all those people who are in bedrooms or nursing home rooms or wherever they're watching us from, that everyone here may be blessed with your love, with your grace, with knowing that you have a reason for having them be in the world. We thank you, Lord, for the gifts of these people. Lord, help us to wisely shepherd and steward the gifts we have been given. Sometimes those are the gifts of children. Sometimes those are the gifts of friends. Sometimes those are the gifts of wealth, or even a gift that poverty can be, if we use it in ways that please you and that serve you and serve others. Help us to know you call us to give in ways that matter. Oh Lord, all these things that we know are in your will and that you remind us to pray for, we give you thanks for. In your holy name, amen. I am looking for the wording of the Lord's Prayer in your polity so that I don't mess it up. But you already know it by heart, so I'm just going to follow you. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Like the children who are present who would like to come forward for the children's message. And it's okay if there aren't any, because every child of God matters, no matter where they are. Oh, we do have some coming up. I thought I had saw some folks out there, but I wasn't sure who would feel comfy coming up. I think I met you yet. Hi, Ellie. Good to meet you. And Alice, right? Yeah. Oh, we'll find that shoe before we leave. That's the way life goes sometimes. Yeah, say good morning. Good morning. It's okay. You don't have to say anything, but you can. Well, I'm going to talk to you today. One of the things we're going to hear is a story about Jesus being baptized. And have you been baptized? Yes? Alice, you've been baptized? So you probably don't remember because you were probably very little. But one of the things that the pastor often does is make the sign of the cross on your forehead to remind you that God loves you. Has anybody ever done that since then that you know of? Sometimes during communion I make the sign of the cross on the kids on the kids' forehead. What's the matter, Alice? Oh. Now I'm a stranger, huh? Truly, it doesn't matter if she moves around if it doesn't bother you. when I do that, when I make the sign of the cross on your foreheads, I always ask the children, and sometimes I say, is it okay if I make the sign of the cross on your forehead, Ellie? And then one of the parents will say, sure. And I will go, no, I want to hear Ellie say it's okay with her because consent matters. And I don't override even little people. If they turn away, then they don't need the sign of the cross today. Because God's love does not depend on that cross. God's love depends on God. And God will always love you no matter what. Does that seem kind of hard to think about? Yeah. I know sometimes when I mess something up, I think to myself, oh, please. Like, this is Pastor Jan's alb. This is the alb she wears. She's a little taller than I am. But I came through the door of your church and then remembered that I had left mine in Burnsville. And I hadn't left quite enough time to make an extra trip back to Burnsville. It was hanging right inside my front door. But I didn't turn on the lights when I left because everyone else was sleeping. So I didn't see it, and I didn't remember, so I borrowed. And we all do things that we wish we hadn't done, right? Yeah, we do, grown-ups and kids. Well, I thank you for your presence here, and if you want to make the sign of the cross on your forehead and say, God loves me, you want to do that, Ellie, or would you like me or Mom to do it? God loves you. You betcha. And that is the most important thing you can remember for your whole life. Okay? Thanks for coming up. There you go. You betcha.
Good morning. The first reading this morning is Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory of his name. Worship the Lord in holy splendor. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders the Lord over mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf and Sirion like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire. The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord causes the oaks to whirl and the stripes and strips the forest bare. And in his temple all say glory. The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever. May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace. The second reading is Acts 8, verses 14 through 17. Now when the apostles of Jerusalem heard that Samaria had accepted the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, and the two went down and prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet the Spirit had not come upon any of them, they had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then Peter and John laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. May God add a blessing to the reading and hearing of the Holy Word. Amen.
You to rise as you are able for the gospel. The gospel today is found in Luke 3, verses 15 through 17 and 21 to 22. As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water. But one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary. But the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." Now when all the people were baptized and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in a bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, "You are my Son, my beloved. With you I am well pleased." This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
You may be seated. It occurs to me that if I were smart, I would have studied some more about the use of baptism in the United Church of Christ. But since I'm not always smart at the right times, I'm going to just go ahead with talking about baptism. I think it's really important that we remember that while we value that, we don't baptize children so God will love them. God loves them, and so God wants them to be baptized. So that we see that sign, so that you see that sign, so that everyone around them is reminded that not only are they loved, but so is this child who can do nothing yet, often when they're baptized, sometimes. About 34 years ago, I had a pair of twins, and they were born early, 6.5 weeks early, which 34 years ago was a bigger deal than it is now. They didn't have any drug to be able to make your lungs grow faster. And Matthew and Nathan were born at Abbott Hospital, which is connected to Minneapolis Children's Hospital. And when after they were born, they were Matt was born. I don't know how many of you know what an APGAR score is, but it's you get a score of in five areas of 0, 1, or 2 based on your health. So obviously the highest is 10, and Matt had a 2 at birth. He had a 2, 1 because he was blue and not gray, and 1 because his heart was beating but he wasn't breathing. He was immediately intubated by the team there, and then at 5 minutes, they usually do one an APGAR score at 2 minutes and 5 minutes. At 5 minutes, his score was 5. So he had gained a whole lot of health in that time from a whole lot of skilled people, and I didn't even know what was going on at that point, but they were doing their good job the way they should. Soon, he was taken to Children's, and they took very good care of him. And he was in the NICU for about 6 days. And then he was transferred to Fairview Ridges Hospital, where our family lives, in Burnsville. And he was in the special care, the level 2 unit. Ridges did not have a NICU at that point, so he had to be well enough to go there. And he was there about 6 days when he started showing signs of something called bronchopulmonary dysplasia. And essentially it means his lungs weren't done yet, so they weren't working as well as they should. And so he had to take a trip back to Children's to be cared for in their level 2.5 unit, the infant care center, which they described to me as stable but complicated. That night when I waited for the ambulance to come that was going to take him down to Children's, I really thought hard and long about whether I should baptize him. I mean, after all, I wasn't ordained yet, but in the Lutheran Church, the understanding is anyone can baptize. We do it in worship with a pastor present for good order, but if there's an emergency, anyone is welcome to baptize. And I thought a lot about it because it was like 10 o'clock at night when I got this news. But, I mean, I belong to a church, and I could have called either of the pastors at home, or I could have called my best friend, who was a Methodist pastor in the area, who I carpooled to seminary with. I guess I could have called the chaplain on call as well. But the thought of Matthew being baptized without his brother and without our family there caused me some great angst. And so I remember with tears in my eyes looking down at him and saying, "Maddie, God loves you whether you're baptized or not, and you will come, you will get better, and you will come home, and you will be baptized with your brother at Diamond Lake. That's the plan. And I'll see you in the morning." Well, I stayed that night until the ambulance came, and then I went home and got some sleep before going to the hospital in the morning. Now, that may not be everyone's idea of the ideal response of a parent, but it was mine at that point. There was something important to me about these boys being baptized together. And it felt like a great stretch of faith to believe that he would get better and that would happen. And it did. And it did. Matthew's a whole healthy adult, has so far produced 3 grandchildren. So, but he was in the hospital. They were born August 24th. And so this was about the 6th of September when he went back down to Children's. And his brother came home from Fairview Ridges on September 20th. And Matthew came home from Children's on November 14th. So he was in the hospital a long time, getting great care. He has no long-term deficit at all. And I am enormously grateful for my boys. I think that when we participate in the act of baptism, one of the reasons I wanted him to be able to be baptized with our church community is so that everyone could see. Because I knew that during this whole pregnancy, this congregation had been praying for me and for them. And I wanted them to be part of the baptism. I wanted the sweet little olds who sat in the last chair, because that was the only pew that had cushions. So if you had any back issues, you often sat in the very back so that you could have something soft to sit on. The rest of us sat on just on the wood. But I wanted them to be there. I thought it was important. I think sometimes we forget what baptism is for. It is not to make you a better person. It is to call you to be a better person, but it doesn't make you a better person. It is to remind you of God's love for you in powerful and deep ways. One of the things Martin Luther used to teach is he would tell his parishioners, remember your baptism every day. And he actually encouraged people to take water when they're washing their face in the morning and make the sign of the cross on their forehead. And just remember, you are God's beloved child. With you, God is well pleased, and that will never change. Never's a very long time. But I believe it's so. I believe all of us could use those kinds of reminders. In this situation, it is so interesting because when Jesus is being baptized, before he's baptized, everyone is looking at John and thinking, is he the one who's supposed to come? Is he the Messiah? And John said, I'm not the Messiah. I'm not the one who is to come. But the one who is coming, I'm not even worthy to untie his sandal. He saw himself as so much less than Jesus. And that was appropriate and also significant, the way he talked about it. But he wanted to baptize everyone for the repentance of sins, to remind them that forgiveness is available to you. You mess up, talk to God, do better. It isn't you have to do this and this and this and then God will love you again. No. God loves you through that whole process. And for many people who have really struggled from a place of unhealth or a place of addiction or a place of depression, if they have good support, they often are reminded over and over and over and over again, God loves you. And that will never change. That will never change. Jesus was born to show God's love for us. Jesus, the disciples and Jesus baptized people, but they didn't baptize them to make them lovable. They baptized them to remind them that they are lovable, that they could live a life that is good, that is healthy, that is generous, that is rich. And those realities, I think sometimes in our busy, busy, fast, bye, 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 achieve, achieve, achieve life, we forget those things. I suspect many of you have had the experience of a neighbor who does something generous, and you have no idea where that intent came out of. We have a neighbor at our house who lives across the street from us, and we're on a cul-de-sac, so when the plow comes around the corner it's got a lot of pent-up snow that it can't put anywhere, and it kind of loses a fair amount of it across the bottom of our driveway. We call it the plow furrow. And it's, depending on how much snow there is how much we have to get to the plow furrow right away. And because there's five of us, all who can shovel, right now four of us living in that home, we never bought a snowblower because we always had, you know, if it's a bad enough storm that you don't go to work, then you got plenty of time to shovel. And there were, all of us could do that all the time. So we never bought a snowplow. But our neighbor across the street, who's probably about 5 to 10 years older than my husband, who's 8 years older than I am, whenever he was done plowing his driveway, John would come over with his little snowblower, and he'd just plow out the plow furrow, just the end of the driveway, the hard part, the part that you might get stuck in. And then he'd go put his snowblower away. He didn't say anything. He didn't accept good. I mean, he'd talk to us if we were there, but he didn't expect anything. And then one time last year, there was a significant enough snow that it looked a little daunting to get through and get out of the driveway. And our neighbor next door, who's also friends with John, went out and bought a new snowblower. They had a little one, but he wanted a bigger one. And we're not particularly friends. I mean, we're both kind of stay to ourselves families and, you know, busy and all that kind of stuff. And he comes over after he plows his driveway with his big new snowblower, and he takes his little snowblower and brings it over to my husband and says, "You might make better use of this than I will." Who gives people a snowblower? It was a very generous gift. I don't know that we needed it, but it was still a very generous gift. And I'm eternally surprised at what kind of actions people will do that you may not expect out of them. I think as we think about what our country is going to be like and what our world's going to be like in the coming days and months and years, I'm not sure how much focus there is on God's love in that. I'm not saying it's not there. And I'm not saying that only a particular kind of Christian has a right to God's love. Because some people seem to think that in some places. But I know that if all of us do the best we can to build community, even if it's just saying good morning more often, even if it's just walking the mail down the street that ended up in your mailbox that isn't for you, that no matter what the things are, if they're small or large, they make a difference. When I was in high school, there was a song, probably many of you know it, and it was called They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love. And it suggested that what we do matters. It doesn't matter to God in terms of whether God will love us. It matters to God and everyone else if we demonstrate that love that is in us in ways that help other people know it. Now, I don't know how many of you watch this kind of news, but Pope John Paul made did a sermon recently, and he said something along the lines of, and this is not an exact quote, I didn't grab a print of it, but he said, "There is one God, and whether we worship that God as a Hindu, or as a Jew, or as a Catholic, or as a Christian, or as a Sikh person, there's one God, and that God wants what is best for all of us. And the more we act like we are following that God, the better off we are." I think it was a pretty surprising thing to come out of the mouth of a Catholic bishop, archbishop. And yet I think it's probably exactly what the world needs right now. I think it was a God-inspired message. I don't know what Zion might need. I don't know what you as individuals might need. I've just had the opportunity to visit with you a little tiny bit. But I do know this. most people need encouragement. Most people need connection. Have you heard what the Surgeon General says is the most significant health risk in the United States today? Loneliness. That having fewer than one or two regular contacts with people is as bad for your health as smoking 15 cigarettes a day. Isn't that surprising? And yet, think about some of the isolation that we have had, both because of COVID and because of the way our world is put together these days. And so if we can just build community in places where it isn't, maybe we can reach out. Maybe it's about talking to the sibling who you don't agree with on 16 things and trying to find a 17th or 18th that you can have a good conversation about. Maybe it's learning the name of a neighbor who you've seen drive back and forth, but you don't know their name. And so when you take that mail down there, you say, "I'm Mary Kay, what's your name? And I'm happy to walk this down. Good to meet you." Maybe it's volunteering at school. Maybe it's helping someone with their groceries at the market. I don't know. I don't know what the opportunities are. But I know there are opportunities everywhere there are people. I don't know many people in a nursing home or in a neighborhood who don't have 5 minutes to visit and don't appreciate a friendly chat, a friendly face, a friendly greeting. May we be those people. May we be the people of God who God has sent to change the world. Because Jesus came into the world to know that we are beloved. And we're here to help everyone else know the same. Please pray with me. Gracious God, we thank you for all the many gifts we have been given. And we hold in prayer and care those who really struggle with something in their life right now. Help us to reach out, not as one more thing on our list, but as a response from a grateful heart, from someone who knows you care about them, and therefore we can care about others. In your holy name we pray. Amen. God of innumerable mercies, give us the grace to be daily washed in the love of Christ, and thereby may we begin to live more abundantly. With this offering today, may we share that fruitful life, which spent in loving others, can glorify your name through the world. Then may the earth know its Savior, who with you in the unity of the Spirit are loved and worshipped, world without end. Amen. I'd like to share a sung benediction, if that's okay, and it's a cappella, okay? The Lord bless you and keep you, and may the Lord's face shine upon you, and give you peace, and give you peace, and give you peace forever. And give you peace, and give you peace, and give you peace forever. With credit to the writer, Michael Card. Our next hymn is Shine, Jesus, Shine. In peace, serve the Lord.